Blog Talk Radio.
I hope you're having a dreamy night tonight. It's raining in this part of the world. A little bit, but it feels really, really good. It's in the 60s. This is Chef Stewardo, and you are listening to Foodomania meets Quarantinomania, produced here at 1020 Radio Studios. On this Sunday night, we're going live, and we'll be talking about a whole bunch of different stuff tonight. Some changes are going on in the food industry. Places are opening up a little bit more. The attitude of owners and workers is a little better, mainly because it's nice to see customers back in. And you know, the reality is that if you're in the food business and you're a food service worker, for the most part, you love it. I certainly do. And it's been just a couple of handfuls of really good stories from people I know who are reopening, and chefs and front of the house people that are going back to work. So I'm happy for that. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the changes, some of the interesting things that are trend. Or the transitions that some of these places that are restaurants that are making do with the best of what they had to offer before the pandemic. In a lot of cases, they switched to takeout and catering and that sort of thing. And as a result, they were able to survive. Other ones, unfortunately, were not able to stay open. But in some cases, especially this week, I've heard about a few places that closed about 6 or 7 months ago. And just because of the community support and, of course, hopefully some pandemic relief help and the desire to continue serving food to people and doing something that you love, a few places have transitioned, one specifically, into a food truck after they were in their former location for about 15 years. And, let's thank the flute player. That was a good job. Anyway, and another one who is doing a series of pop-up setups at some farmers markets, and then they've been able to arrange, by getting the right permits, parking lot pop-ups. And in the Seattle area, there's about 19 pop-ups that are pizza and some traditional Mexican food, and then there's a couple of bakeries and some vegan offerings, which are really good. Of course, coffee, a couple of coffee bars as well. So what does that say? That says there's hope. There's hope to get things back open and keep doing it. I appreciate all the feedback I'm getting from food service workers who are telling me their stories. And some people just aren't going back to work yet. They're just not ready. They have child care issues. Some people are still hesitant on the vaccine, and you know, they have to make the best choice for themselves and their family. But it's really cool because some people have started a network where you can pick up maybe a day here and a day there and still report it to your unemployment, and it won't affect, you know, affect you that much, but at least it'll keep you active and keep you connected. So we'll talk about some of those opportunities too as we go. In the second part of our show tonight, and in some cases in the morning, we will be having a chef, Jennifer, who's been on with us before. She's now relocated in Maui and is doing her thing there. And her thing is working and exploring all the possibilities in as a chef that she can over there, and also sampling some different things and coming up with some, I'm sure, inspiration for her already very special cooking. So we'll be talking to her. She'll be phoning in a bit. Yeah, lots of good stuff going on. Lots of music and a couple of movies that we'll talk about. Just a couple of little shows that you might find pretty interesting as well. So we'll just keep it going here tonight. We'll play a little music, and I'll be back with you in just a little bit. Foo Fighters with a cut from their new album, Shame, Shame, Shame. Now, I don't know if it's called Shame, 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 because that was a great, really fantastic tune in the late 50s by Sherry and Earl, I believe. Cool song. I'll have to play it for you sometime. All right. We got a couple of little things going on. You know, the interesting news, of course, is that they've relaxed certain mask restrictions in certain cases. You probably noticed that going into certain places, though most stores and markets and restaurants and things, the people who are inside are wearing masks. And then the customers or, you know, people who have been vaccinated are, in some cases, foregoing the masks. It's kind of on the honor system, of course. But I always encourage, and, you know, during any of the shows, I say, for now, stay safe with wearing a mask when you're not sure, and especially if you're in large groups of people. Now, if you're in the park by yourself, you're riding a bike or something, that's a whole different thing. You know, if you're in a situation in your yard or at home, and even driving in the car. But if you're going to be out in public and you're going to be crossing paths, it's still too early to completely take it off. Now, I want to say that everybody is welcome to be able to do what you feel right to do. So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just suggesting. Okay. And in that, it has a lot to do with, you know, all our food service businesses. In, I think it's another 2 weeks, they'll be lifting the final restrictions and getting to back to totally open full capacity. Most of the restaurants that I've talked to and people have checked in with, just to be able to give you the updates, people are excited. Restaurants are starting to get people in the door. Business is getting better. There are lots of jobs available. And it's really interesting because in some cases people are paying more money. And that was one of the arguments. And giving incentives for you to certain, you know, criteria that you need to discuss with the potential employer. But don't be afraid to ask questions if you're going in to look for some work. Just be open. Be safe, but be open. You're going to be ready to go back to work. And even if you're trying to, you know, do it slowly, do it around your schedule and what's best for your family. But I can say that the biggest thing that I'm hearing from owners and chefs is crew. They need people. And it's, you know, it's interesting because in some cases when places are pretty full or they're setting their staff, you know, in the restaurant business, usually what happens is things go through the holidays, Christmas time, and then the first couple of months of the year, lots of places are just sort of running, but they're reviewing their year. They're planning for their, you know, business. That happens more when the weather gets better. And they usually have some new hires. So, yeah, usually when I was always looking for work or making a change, you know, January, February, middle of February onward, were really opportunities started coming up. People are trying to find people to start, you know, in the beginning of April, for instance. This situation is really interesting because, of course, all our time has turned around. So what we really have going is in kind of a really big, beautiful pot of jobs and more opportunities than maybe under normal circumstances. So I encourage you, for the sake of you guys and also all your owners and chefs out there. And owners, I say, you know, incentive in the sense that, you know, hard work and punctuality and dedication to the job should translate into a fairly fair wage. And in some cases, you know, you can also talk to your potential employer and ask them and talk. Frankly, listen, once I'm past my, say, 30-day trial and business starts picking up because restrictions are being, you know, relaxed a little bit, is there a chance that I could possibly get some more money at that point in time? So, you know, it's always doesn't hurt to ask. And I'm just encouraging. And part of the, you know, part of working is totally economics and being able to make ends meet and pay your bills But if you're a true foodie person, you know we love the work. We love being there. We love the pressure. We love when we're busy. We like seeing our comrades at work. And it's a lot of work. It's hard, but you really feel good at the end of the day. In my opinion, it's always worth it. All right, so a couple of interesting stories. Now, you know, during the pandemic, a lot of places were able to set up outdoor dining. And you notice in towns everywhere, especially on the island here, the sidewalk has been extended into about 5 or 6 feet width by maybe 10 or 12 foot platform, covered in most cases where they can fit 2 or 3 or maybe 4 tables. And it really has made a huge difference on a lot of ways. Number one, giving the potential of a few more tables when indoor dining is restricted. And secondly, creating an atmosphere. You know, there's nothing better than eating al fresco. And restaurants that had never had really any outdoor seating, all of a sudden they find themselves with 6 or 7 tables. And the changes have been great. I've noticed it. I've talked to people. I've eaten, you know, visited a couple of different places and eaten a little bit of the food here and there. And it's really been a help. And unfortunately, in some cases, like anything, as the as things, you know, get a little bit back to, you know, business, they have to look at some of the certain rules in place and unfortunately make adjustments. For instance, specifically one of our listeners who works in a restaurant in, I think it's in Muckleteel, and they've had a really hard time. They've gotten through everything the best that they could. And unfortunately, you know, it was literally bare bones. So when they had the opportunity to reopen at 50% and they set up these tables outside, where I think they had an additional 12 seats. Now, 12 seats in the restaurant translates into, you know, if that gets turned over 3 or 4 times in the night, that's 50 or 60, you know, customers that you might not have been able to serve without that little outdoor area. But in some places, it's interesting how when somebody made a complaint, and the complaint was that if you check the law, the sidewalk and that place in front of the restaurant is actually park property. And they went ahead and they looked up the rules, you know, as far as what the city and council had planned in that area. And sadly, it ends up that there was just that little thing in their situation, you know, something to do with the land use of that specific, you know, place. And it prevented the use of those tables for profit. So in other words, you could sit people out there if they were just hanging out and not paying money and there was no business involved. But once the business thing happened and once there was any kind of any profit from it, the council had a rule against this, you know, the legality of these outdoor tables and shut them down. And they've tried a couple of different things. They went, you know, to try to get some emergency authorization. Unfortunately, everything fell flat. Now, that's the case in a couple of different places. So that puts a little dent in the businesses. So make sure that if you're doing something, it's within the restrictions of the city codes. And if you have any doubt about that, you might want to explore the possibilities just in case somebody just felt like making a phone call, which I think is, you know, it wasn't hurting that person. It wasn't like, you know, because of those outdoor seats, you know, somebody's, you know, life was in danger or car was damaged or whatever the heck it was. It was just somebody who just had a lot of time on their hands, basically, and made the call. Anyway, it's going to happen. These things are going to happen. You know, I had a report from a friend who went up to the area up north of, you know, in northern Washington and in Winthrop and that sort of area up there, beautiful country. And the town of Winthrop, for instance, is it's an eclectic, great place. And they have a dozen classic places in that area, different kinds of restaurants and that are just destinations. I mean, I've actually taken trips, day trips, in some cases, you know, overnights, but just to go up there and have a good meal, an interesting meal in the little town of Winthrop. Well, Unfortunately, I would say about 75% of the places are still shuttered. Some of them are still doing takeout, and the other ones are just starting to open. And that's, again, based on the restrictions, all based on the science and stuff. So what is the moral of the story? It's really simple. If you're a food service worker, a cook, a chef, and you have, number one, people that you know who are looking for work, encourage them to check out these different places. If you own a business and you're doing outdoor seating, then just make sure, as I said a few minutes ago, that everything is kosher, so to speak, and that you're not endangering your outdoor seating by either over-sitting or make sure that it's set up correctly. And especially because now it's starting to get busy. The weather's going to change. Tourism is starting to happen. I noticed here on the island, there's just a lot more people here traveling through. So we want to do everything we can to stay open, you know what I'm saying, and just keep it going. And that's what makes, you know, makes it a lot easier just to have some of those things a little organized and just get as much knowledge as you possibly can. You know what I mean? All right, I'm going to play a little bit more music and I'll come back. This is a cool little piece of music. This is Elvis Costello and special guest Lucinda Williams. And they're doing a song that you probably heard before, written by a couple of guys who have this, probably one of the longest running rock and roll bands in the world. I won't tell you anything more. Give it a listen, and I'll be back shortly.
So we thought we'd do this here song that it's a kind of a country song, I guess. And it's one that got me thinking about this kind of music back in the late 60s, I guess, or whenever it came out first.
Childhood living is easy to do. The things that you I bought them for you. Slide through now.
really a good concert. And I think it was on Austin City Limits, if you want to look it up and check it out. All right, we're moving in. You're listening to Foodomania meets Quarantina Mania, and I'm Chef Stuardo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And I hope that you're rested or at least in a good frame of mind to start this next week. Kind of crazy. It's already almost halfway through June. Time's just moving on. Hopefully your gardens are doing good and things are coming up. I have just keeping it simple this year in my little mini farm. It's not a mini farm. It's a mini farm. But I got the San Marzanos, as I always have, and I got a bunch of good basil crops. Lots of good herbs this year as well, and tons of flowers. Going big on fuchsias, going big on daisies right now. And really excited about that. Just really happy to be able to have just delicious herbs at my disposal at any time of the day. And the pizza oven is all stocked up with wood. Everything's coming together out there. And actually kind of snuck into it and lit that oven up a few times just to do a few different breads and things over the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, it's really my favorite time of the year when things, you know, slow down just a little bit and we get some just good days. And I'm still using some San Marzanos from last year that have been frozen, canned. So they're delicious. So I'll be making some stuff and telling you all about it so that you can get excited and try it on your own. There's some announcements that I'm going to make. I want to make right now. I'll just play you a little blip, some interesting information. And it's happening in Washington State. I thought it was interesting enough to create this little piece. Check it out. Last Thursday, Governor Jay Inslee announced a suite of new incentives to help encourage unvaccinated Washingtonians to get the COVID shot. The Washington State Lottery will be conducting a Shot of a Lifetime giveaway series during the month of June, working with state agencies, technology companies, sports teams, and higher education institutions across the state to offer a myriad of different prizes to vaccinated individuals. The incentives announced include lottery cash drawings with prizes totaling $2 million, higher education tuition and expense assistance, sports tickets and gear, gift cards, airline tickets, and game systems and smart speakers. Drawings will take place each Tuesday in the month of June, with the grand prize drawing on July 13th for $1 million. All Washingtonians who have received at least one COVID shot have been automatically entered to win. Nothing more is required of these individuals to participate. For those who haven't yet received their vaccine, now is the time to do so. If you have questions about your eligibility or vaccination status, you can call the state's vaccine hotline at 1-833-VAX-HELP. That's 1-833-VAX-HELP. Skagit County Public Health has Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccines available at the fairgrounds for individuals 18 and older. Drop-ins are always welcome, and the fairgrounds are open from Thursday from 1 to 7 and Fridays and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Second-dose Pfizer is also available at the fairgrounds, provided until the fairgrounds clinic closes permanently on June 26th. For more information, you can call 360-416-1500 or go to the website at www.skagitcounty.net/COVID-vaccine. All right, I had to play that with a PSA. Some good information there. Again, they're, you know, they're doing everything they can to try to get people who are open and not, you know, not against it to get that vaccine and to protect yourself and to protect other people as well. And now they're giving out incentives. And listen, if it's going to help get certain things back to normal and get more people and get the numbers up. Bellingham, Washington was announced as one of the safest places in the state, the lowest amount of any new cases or any hospitalizations or deaths. And it's, I think about our show last year at this time, and sometimes I go back and I, you know, just go back and listen to a little bit of what where we were at a year ago. And it was so far away from kind of where we're at right now, you know. And it, even the fact that, you know, we have a new administration and we have, you know, science breakthroughs that are amazing and giving people more quality of life. Now, listen, there's going to be problems with this stuff. And, you know, some stuff has been reported, but we're in fairly incredible hands. We have a lot of brilliant minds that have been working on this for a long time to try to give us the best information to make for us to make the most informative decisions. So, you know, when I think about the show last year at this time, and I think about we were talking about just doing such more of the survival mode, it was getting a bit scary. It still is scary, but it was getting really scary. People feeling the pressure of isolation and, a lot of places were closing down and a lot of sadness, a lot of good friends and family, people that we care about and love. And here we are a year later and it seems like there's just a little bit more hope. It doesn't take away, you know, as I said, some of the loss and the pain of this last year and a half. But, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot in our lifetimes too. We've all been through a lot of things in our lives, but it's a lot of stuff too. Process. So, and there's nothing better to process some of this stuff than good food and deliciousness or imagination or adventure. So with that said, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be bringing on a good friend and a really talented chef from direct from Maui over there across the Pacific. And we'll get a little Hawaiian eye on stuff. We'll be right back. Well, as the weather gets a little bit warmer, we find ourselves wanting to eat a little bit more of fresh vegetables and salad. Here's a great salad I had very often when I lived in Spain, and I think you're just going to love it. First, here's what you need. You need a head of really nice, crunchy romaine lettuce, two tomatoes, a half a cup of really nice Spanish olives, the green ones with the little red pimento in it will do good. A half a cup of corn. Now, you can use a frozen kernel, or if you have fresh corn, you can cook it and cut the kernels off, and that works really great. About 4 ounces of really nice tuna fish. If you go for the can, just get a can of nice albacore. Some olive oil, some fresh garlic, 2 pieces of crunchy French bread, a little bit of fresh feta cheese, about 3 green onions, and you're ready to go. Here's what you do. Make sure the lettuce is nice and cold. Take the top parts of the lettuce and keep the nice crunchy parts and cut them into small pieces. Take your tomatoes, cut them into wedges. Take your tuna, initially, take it out of the can, drain it really well, and put it in about 1/3 of an inch of olive oil. And just take the olive oil and baste the tuna with the olive oil. Cut a couple of pieces of fresh garlic and put it in the oil with the tuna as well. And let it sit in the fridge for about 2 hours. Now get a big bowl, take your nice cold lettuce, and place it in the bowl. And take your tomatoes and wedge them sort of around the lettuce. Take your olives, cut them in half, and just go ahead and toss them over everything in the bowl. Take your corn and do the same thing, just sort of toss it over all the lettuce. Then, slowly take the tuna with a fork and take the chunks and spread them really nicely over the whole salad. Then take the remaining olive oil, it's already gotten a little bit of the tuna, and sprinkle that over the top. Now take the pieces of bread, spread a little bit more of that olive oil over the bread, and put them in a frying pan and just saute them lightly until they're golden brown. Then take a knife and cut them into small cubes and throw that over your salad. You've just made kind of a simple, quick crouton. And take your scallion onions, clean them really well, and stick them right inside the salad. I like to take the juice of about a half of a lemon and squeeze it over the whole thing. There you go. You have a fresh a salad atún, something that they eat on the Spanish coast a lot in hot summery days. It's simple, it's inexpensive, and I think you'll love it. This is Chef Stuardo with another Cooking Minute. Hey, let's eat. Yeah, let's eat. All right. If you guys and girls out there would like those recipes and some examples, you can write me at chefstuardo@hotmail.com and just write recipe, write a Spanish tuna salad. And I'll send you back a recipe really quick. All right. So we're going to bring on our special guest who has been waiting in the waiting room, and we'll bring her on. We were going to do some Zoom, but we had a little flashes of modem difficulty earlier in the day, and I didn't want to take a chance on losing the whole broadcast since we're going live tonight. Jen, are you with us?
I'm with you. Aloha.
Right. Hey, aloha. Welcome, Chef Jen. We have we're talking thousands of miles of ocean apart, and it's so good to hear your voice. How's it going? How's the weather in Hawaii today?
It is fantastic. It's warming up, 80s, hey. In the high 80s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much to talk about. Well, basically, just, you know, people who have heard Jen on the show before, she last time we had her on, she was, you know, she's here on the West Coast, and now she's relocated to a whole new place, and it's been a couple of months, actually, I think, since you've been on the show. So give us a little quick fill-in as to how what you're doing and how things are going.
Oh, things are going great. I'm working at a restaurant in downtown Lahaina, and I'm working my way learning the beaches and taking advantage of the seasonal fruits and the farmers markets that are open now. So it's been a lot of fun.
So what basically is the status of places that are open? Are they open at 25% or 50% or?
Well, the 50% mostly, and then when the state achieves 60% vaccination rate, then the social gatherings will go up. So incrementally, when more, you know, people are vaccinated, the benchmarks, the rules will relax, basically. So, but restaurants, when the state achieves 60% vaccination rate, restaurants will be up to 75% capacity, meaning
good.
25% indoor, and then 75 outdoor, groups of 25 and 75, you know, so more people outdoors than indoors.
Still have social distancing though, or the tables, you have to be in the same family to sit at the table? How are they doing it?
There's still social distancing in place. And then when the state achieves 70% vaccination rate, then all the restrictions will terminate, except for the Department of Health are going to still, I've yet to discern what they're going to make permanent revisions in how restaurants operate, but that is talk that there's going to be some change to the restaurants,
right.
You know, how they operate. So that, so social gatherings, so all the restrictions will terminate at 70% vaccination rate, but the restaurants will continue to be regulated by the Department of Health. So I'm not sure what those new permanent rules will be in light of the pandemic, but like Washington State, they are also giving a lot of incentives for people to get vaccinated, as you mentioned.
Right.
I mean, the prizes, deals, and discounts,
I know,
are,
it's crazy.
You know, off the charts.
Yeah, they're
so,
even giving away
right
beer,
now,
and it's crazy.
It is. They're giving around, like, round trips and vacations and all these things. And what was one of the things that I've seen was, I was going to tell you, the,
Nope, it'll come back.
But the vaccination rate, we're up to like 56%.
So there's readily vaccines available for people, and how's the I mean, as far as cases and stuff, is it calming down over there? I mean, are hospitals handling it, and are there many new cases, or is it sort of being kept a bit at bay right now, or what do you notice?
The last update was posted June 13th, and the daily cases per 100,000 were eight. Eight daily new cases per 100,000. So, yeah.
That seems like a pretty reasonable good number as opposed to 800. Or, you know. Good. All right.
Right.
So just the general gist is still wear your mask, be careful. And as you said, things, as the numbers change, things will get better soon. So what is...
Yeah, because my, my chef even...
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was going to say, because my, what you said, you know, even if you're vaccinated, still wear your mask, because I have heard people still get COVID even if they're vaccinated. So
oh, no, that's
just be careful.
Sure. Yeah, I talk about that in the show all the time, and it's just, it's important. People in Washington have been doing really great for the most part. It's just been a lot of good participation. I've seen a couple of knuckleheads over the last week or two, you know, you know, you just have to avoid the knuckleheads. And, and what I mean by that is just people are just, you know, they didn't like it before and they definitely don't like it now, but stay out of the way, stand over there. It's okay. Not a problem. Anyway. All right, so let's focus on something cool. So you said that, you know, the farmers markets, you were saying off air that it's a farm markets, like, and there are lots of those in the Skagit Valley where a farm would have their own little stand. And so we've talked a little bit. Tell me a little bit about, like, some of the inspiration. I know that you're just resettling and stuff and you're working a lot, but what have you seen and what has gotten you excited in Hawaii, like a couple of dishes or things that you've tasted, or what is, like, just tickled your taste buds as a new Hawaiian resident?
Well, I'm a big fan of Lau Lau and hui hui chicken. And
okay, well, now you got to explain what those are.
So Lau Lau is the basically meat wrapped in leaves. is the quick version of it. And so some of the Lau Lau you'll find, they put butterfish in there, which is like a miso marinated black cod or sable fish, right? So,
right.
And then you've put pork butt in there and chicken thighs. Or
all together?
Some people just, yes. And then... or some people just make it with pork. Like today I bought one at the store and it was just pork, you know.
Okay, so
a little
foggy here. So let me just get a clarification. So this is an item, like if you're in New York, you see pizza every block. Is this a staple all over Hawaii?
It is a very popular Hawaiian food, yes.
Okay.
So,
and so is it available in restaurants?
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Yes, it is.
Or is it available at gas stations or different people that have little stands at different places where you can pick one of these up?
I have not seen it at a gas station. Doesn't mean they're there. Not there. But
basically what you're saying is it's a regular food item that's kind of a staple that you can get pretty much in a lot of different places.
Yes.
So is it wrapped in a banana leaf?
They're wrapped in tea leaves. So it's like you cross them over like you're making a cross, you know, and then you wrap, depending on what meats you have, you know, you wrap a portion of the meat in some and fold it over and, you know, you wrap kind of like each meat and then you season it with a little bit of salt. And you wrap it in the tea leaves, but there's also lily leaves in there.
How is it cooked? Is it baked? Is it grilled? Is it steamed? How do they do it?
Steamed for about 3-4 hours.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really delicious.
I bet. Well, that sounds like
so,
a good item.
Yeah, and
then you
the
mentioned another.
The taro leaves are edible, and they're really soft and yummy. So
yeah, they sound really
it's
good.
A
what,
really distinct
what,
kind of nutty flavor.
And what does something like that cost?
Oh, well, you know, I think just it's not very expensive. I might have gotten one for maybe like a pack of six of them. This is funny, but this is the real reference. Like I walked past them in Costco today and it was like six for $26, you know? And I think I bought one in the grocery store today for $4 or $5. So something like that.
I'm thinking of this beautiful tropical paradise and just being in this beautiful thing of fish and pork wrapped in leaves. And then you mentioned Costco and it goes all out the window.
I know.
But that's okay. I'll let you get away with it this time. But anyway, so basically, in other words, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see those in a Costco here in Washington State, probably, right? Is this something that's
perfect? No.
Okay. Very cool. No, I like that idea.
But
so now, what was
you do have L&L Hawaiian barbecue over there? Last I've seen in Kona Kitchen, and they may have the lalau.
And what was the other thing you said? The lalau, and then you mentioned the second thing.
Oh, Huli Huli chicken.
So tell us about that.
I love most things cooked over fire.
All right.
Like grilled
so
and dried and
nice.
Like your pizza oven, right? So
right, so Huli Huli chicken is a grilled roasted chicken basically over a fire. Is that what it is?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's an outdoor grilled rotisserie chicken. It's with the special like soy. I call it like a soy barbecue sauce, right? So it's like a sweetened soy barbecue sauce, but it has distinct flavor and it's just roasted outdoors. It just tastes really good.
I imagine with the wind blowing and the salt air, I mean, there's something about it that's got to be really delicious for sure. All right. Like I wish we had a ton of time, but I wanted to tell you that please give out if you'd like, or they can reach you or reach out to you through me, however you'd like to do it. But for anybody that's listening that really wants to get a little bit more information from Chef Jen about some of these things that you're doing, that she's in. And by the way, you've listened to her on other shows before and you'll hear her on this show again. This great chef here has a wealth of knowledge on so many different things, but I'm picking on her because she's in Hawaii right now. And I just want to, you know, whenever I see, you eat anything good lately, you know, that's how cooks talk to each other. So at least I do. I mean, I have to always know what people ate. I always say, hey, how's your mom? Is she feeling better? I heard you got a new puppy. And eat anything good lately? You know, that's food stories to me are the best. But, Jen, why don't you let people know right now how they can get in touch with you if they want to write you or ask you a question?
Well, I am on Instagram at Chef Jennifer Marie, or you can reach me, jennifersheehan@gmail.com.
Perfect.
My email address.
And I'll put that up on the Foodomania site. And I think she's already up there, but we'll post it again so people can get in touch. All right. So, you know, at Foodomania show lately, I've been sort of inserting some music just because it's fun and taking a little break. But you sent me a really cool song from Hawaii and you tell me a little bit about it and we're going to play it before, you know, to say aloha to you. We'll go out with this great song. But tell me about Willie Kay.
Oh, my gosh. He was... he is a legend.
Now, when you say was, like has he passed on?
He passed on very recently, passed away of cancer.
Okay.
But I was able to see him in Seattle, of all things, a couple of times, and once in Hawaii, Maui. Before he passed, so that was beautiful.
The song that you sent is a really neat song, and it's a good way to sort of wrap up our short talk today, and hopefully we'll do a longer one. But I was just so he's, from what I could tell, is he does he play guitar? It's like, well, it's Yukuyupio. Is that how you say it?
Yukuyupio means you, my sweetheart.
Oh, well, not yeah, it gets me all goosebumpy. All right, we're going to go out with our interview with Jen. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm sorry it was kind of short, but I'm glad you're part of the show, and really look forward to connecting with you again soon. And also, I'm, you know, we were going to do some Zoom and some visuals tonight, but I think what I'm going to do is off the air, and I'll connect with her. And her and I have taught a couple of food classes together via Zoom. That was really, really fun. And I'm thinking we should do the show via Zoom. And then both of us could be on the air, and we can cook something together via Zoom, and our listeners can chime in and be part of it. So that might be
wonderful.
We'll work on that for sure. All right. Well, thank you so much. How do you say, take care of yourself, be well, be safe, aloha? Is there a Hawaiian word or two that sums it all up? Like some kind of a saying.
You could say malama, or you could say, and mahalo is obviously thank you in a way. Okay. So, yes.
I like it. All right. Well, thank you very much for being part of the show again. And here comes Willie Kay.
All right.
Island, I found a way to see the beauty in passing days. Flowers died and pale, my love. Moments that some morning hear of. Loving that always shone so bright.
That song, and we'll post a little bit more information about him on our website so you can check him out. And he was basically an artist that was so multi-talented, from what I understand, a songwriter, instrumentalist, an all-around riveting entertainer. He could go any place in the world. He can walk into an Irish pub or anything, play acoustic music, Hawaiian, jazz, reggae, anything, opera even. This is all some information that Chef Jen sent. All right. Well, you guys and girls, it's that time again to just almost say bye-bye to this week. And Sunday is always the end of it. I know when I was growing up, I just used to get butterflies because I didn't want to go to school the next day. Or I just always liked when something about Sundays. That was a really good day to just, you know, be with the family or friends and have a good day, time, good stuff to eat. Then about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, start thinking, oh, we're going to go to school tomorrow. Well, hey, listen, for those of you that have to go to school tomorrow, cheer up. It's going to be all worth it. And for those of you that have to go to work, I want you to have a good, safe week. Maintain your you know, standards. And that's all I can tell you. I'll be back next week. This is Chef Duardo, Food and Mayhem.